communicate how special this thing was. They needed to drop whatever they were doing and experience it for themselves. Being in a relationship with Christ is like that too. It's hard to describe. Our words will fall short, but we can invite people to come and see. Even more than catching a glimpse of beauty, encountering Christ can change a person's life forever.
This is John 1, verses 35 through 51. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
Thank you, Kara. So our passage this morning starts out with John the Baptist talking to two of his followers, his disciples, and he's doing everything he can to point people away from himself and toward the Messiah, Jesus. So he tells them, "Look, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples start hurrying to follow Jesus as he walks. And Jesus notices them following him, and he turns around and he asks them a question. "What do you want?" It sounds kind of like something we might do if someone was following us, like, "What do you want?" But some of the translators say it this way, "What do you seek?" Or, "What are you looking for?" It's a good question for us to pause and try to answer. What are we looking for in our lives? What is our greatest desire? What moves us? What inspires us to search for it? Put our energy and our attention towards it, not because anyone's telling us that we should, and not because anyone's paying us to do that, but just because we want to. When we were away the beginning of January, we were down in Key West, and we happened to go into a little museum. It was called the Mel Fisher Museum. And we learned about this man named Mel Fisher. When he was a little boy in Indiana, he read the book Treasure Island, and it just captured him. So if someone had asked him at any point in his life, "What is it that you want?" he would have said, "Treasure." He grew up to be one of the world's very first scuba divers and instructors. And he and his wife left the security of having a chicken farm to drive all the way across the country and follow their dream and hunt for shipwrecked treasures off the coast water of the Keys. And over the years, they found some things. They found gold and silver coins and jewelry that were once carried by Spanish treasure ships going from the New World back to the Old. Much of the money that they earned went towards their very biggest quest, finding a shipwrecked Spanish galleon that was called the Atocha. They spent 20 years searching for it, and no one was paying them to do it. In fact, they were paying $1,000 a day to do the search. It cost over $20 million, and along the way, two of their family members died because their boat capsized. But then Mel Fisher and his crew finally found the mother lode. Silver and gold bars, jewels, and more valued at $400 million. And that's what we saw in some of that in the museum. There was no guarantee that they would ever find what they were searching for, but they persisted until they did. What about the disciples in the story? What were they searching for? What was their answer to Jesus? They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Their question signals to me that they want to know more about Jesus. Where does he spend his time? What sort of person is he? Is he really the Messiah, God from heaven? Their quest was to find the Messiah, to learn about life, and to learn about truth from him. Their teacher, John the Baptist, said, "This is the one." Now it's time for them to go get to know him, if he will let them. Jesus welcomes them, saying, "Come and see." He's welcoming them to keep on following him, to come and see where he was staying, which is the direct answer to their request. The text doesn't tell us where Jesus was staying at the time. It could have been a home of a friend or a relative, but it might have even been outdoors, like a camper or a hiker. Because Luke 9, 57 and 58 tell us about another time when someone started following Jesus. It says, "As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' Jesus replied, 'Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.'" He might have just been sleeping by the side of the road sometimes to be able to go and do his ministry. I wonder if it was shocking that God's Messiah would live so humbly. He's more like the people who walk where they need to go, carrying their supplies, than like the people who have fancy houses with closets full of stuff. To know where Jesus was staying that day, we would have had to be there. The two disciples didn't just take a quick look at where he was staying and then get back to work. They spent the whole rest of the day with him. And if we really want to get to know Jesus, we'll need a little bit more than a quick peek in our Bible in the morning. We will need to be talking with him through the day, learning to see the world the way that Jesus sees it. It's a little different now that Jesus has returned to heaven, but there's good news to that too, because Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to everyone who believes in him. And as many of us who desire to follow him can spend time with him no matter where we are. We can set aside time to read or think or even write out things to discuss with him. We can pray. And we can know he hears us and cares about every detail of our lives, as well as everyone we love and know, and everyone we haven't even met yet. We can enjoy his company. Who likes to sing praises in their car when they're on a trip? Me too. Or when you're cooking, you can turn the music on, or doing a task. You know, Jesus was a carpenter too, so if you're working with your hands, you can be bonding with Jesus along the way. We can spend time in the beauty of nature with Jesus and think of him. Or drift off to sleep thinking about breathing in his great love for us. When we truly experience the presence of Jesus in our lives, we'll want to encourage and invite the people we care about to get to know him too. Jesus tells us that the disciple that had been spending the day with him, one of them was named Andrew. Verse 41 and 42 says, the very first thing Andrew did was to go find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. These fishing brothers must have spent a lot of time on those long nights casting the nets out, talking about their spiritual thoughts and dreams and hopes for the Messiah. He knew that Simon would want to know that he had found him. And then a little later, Jesus went looking for a man in Bethsaida. His name was Philip, and Jesus invited Philip to follow him too. And then right away, verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, Nathanael didn't act as eager as Simon had. His prejudices flared up, creating kind of a roadblock in his mind. He says, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Now, Nathanael is probably a student of the scriptures. That's why Philip mentioned them to him. And he knew that Bethlehem was the birthplace of the Messiah. Nazareth was just a little town of no distinction. At this time, it probably had 120 to 150 people there, and nothing good had come from there. Philip had appealed to Nathanael's knowledge of the law and the prophets to tell him about Jesus. But when he encountered this resistance in Nathanael's heart, he didn't try to argue with him and persuade Nathanael how special Jesus was. He just said, come and see. Who do you really care about? Who would you go to if you had some exciting news? Like you just got a great new job, or there's going to be a new baby in the family, or you have an acceptance letter to a college that you're waiting for. Have you ever told them about Jesus? How would you go about inviting them to meet Jesus? If you aren't sure, we can pray for courage and wisdom and the right words and the right time. We can also pray that the Holy Spirit would start preparing their heart to meet Jesus. Well, despite Nathanael's doubts, he did go with Philip to meet Jesus, and it was a life-changing experience for him. It shows us that Jesus is both aware of who we are and who we will be. When Andrew brought his brother to Jesus, Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas. In Greek, that's Peter. Jesus knew exactly who he was, what his name was, who his father was, and who he would one day become. He was one day going to be a rock, one of the foundational members of the believers and his followers. And then when Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus, Jesus saw him and said, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. He knew that the most important things to Nathanael were honesty and integrity. And he was amazed that Jesus knew that about him. He says, how do you know me? And then Jesus blows his mind by saying, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. He wasn't there. How could he know where he was? And under a fig tree, that's often where people at this time would sit and read scripture if they had access to it. They would learn more about God. This statement absolutely convinced Nathanael that Jesus was the Messiah. He declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. It was a true statement and one that showed Nathanael's faith in Jesus. And Jesus said to him, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. Then he added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now my sister told me that when she was in Israel, they talked about this passage and helped her understand that it's very likely that Jesus was saying, Nathaniel, I know you were reading scripture under that fig tree, and I even know which one you were reading. It's likely that Nathaniel was reading about Jacob's dream from Genesis 28. Jacob had a dream about a ladder that reached all the way from earth to heaven, and it had angels moving up and down on it. He heard the voice of God promising the same things he had promised his father, Abraham, to him. So when he woke up from that dream, he said, this is surely the gate of heaven. This is the house of God. And he named this place Bethel. And it forever after that, it was called Bethel, meaning house of God. Jesus is telling Nathanael that he is both the Son of Man, who is the sovereign leader of all the earth from the book of Daniel, and he is also the place where heaven and earth meet, Bethel. He is divine and he is human together. He is the gate and he is the way to heaven. What an amazing truth to share with Nathanael. Nathanael came as a skeptic. He became a believer. Jesus showed Nathanael that he knew him well, and he offered for Nathanael to get to know him. Jesus knows us well too, very intimately, and it's our great joy to get to know Jesus. Matthew 10:30 says, "Even the very hairs on your head are all numbered." That's a detail that none of us can keep track of, even for our own selves, let alone everyone on earth. That's how closely, intimately, Christ knows us. Would you take the time to get to know Jesus? If you do, it will be your greatest treasure, your greatest joy. You will want to invite others to come and see, too. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for caring about us so much. Thank you for knowing us. Lord, slow us down in our busy lives. Help us to do all the things we do, whether quiet times or busy times, in connection and in consciousness of your presence. Help us to become more like you, to see the world like you see it, to have your heart be our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.